So we're beginning on page 147. This chapter is Karma Yoga, and it begins, the first two verses are questions by Arjuna, and then Krishna will answer his questions throughout the chapter. So now let's hear what the first two questions are. It's actually one question, but he wants clarification, so he asks it in two verses. So please repeat. Arjuna Vacha.
Arjuna Vacha.
Jayasi Chet Kamanaste.
Jayasi Chet Kamanaste.
Matabhudhir Janardana.
Matabhudhir Janardana.
Tat Kim Karmani Ghore Mam.
Tat Kim Karmani Ghore Mam.
Niyo Jayasi Keshava.
Niyo Jayasi.
Arjuna Vacha.
Arjuna Vacha.
Jayasi Chet Karmanashte.
Jayasi Chet Karmanashte.
Matabhudhir Janardana.
Matabhudhir Janardana.
Tat Kim Karmani Ghore Mam.
Tat Kim Karmani Ghore Mam.
Niyo Jayasi Keshava.
Niyo Jayasi Keshava.
A few chanters. Jayasi Chet Karmanaste Mata Bhudhir Janardana Tat Kim Karmani Ghore Mam Niyo Jayasi Keshava
Arjuna
Vacha
Jayasi Chet Karmanaste
Jayasi Chet Karmanaste
Mata
Bhudhir Janardana
Tat Kim Karmani Ghore Mam
Niyo Jayasi Keshava
Arjuna Uvacha
Jayasi Chet Karmanaste
Mata Bhudhir
Janardana Tat Kim Karmani Ghore Mam
Niyo Jayasi Keshava
Arjuna Vacha
Arjuna said
Jayasi
better
Chet
if
Karmanaha
then fruit of
action
Te
by you
Mata
is considered
Buddhihi
intelligence
Janardana
O Krishna
Tat
Therefore,
Kim,
why,
Karmani,
in action,
Ghore,
ghastly,
Mam,
me, Niyo Jayasi,
you are engaging,
Keshava, O Krishna, Arjuna said, O Janardana, O Keshava, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare if you think that intelligence is better than fruit of work? Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has very elaborately described the constitution of the soul in the previous chapter with a view to delivering his intimate friend Arjuna from the ocean of material grief. And the path of realization has been recommended, Buddhi Yoga, or Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Krishna consciousness is misunderstood to be inertia, and one with such a misunderstanding often withdraws to a secluded place to become fully Krishna conscious by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. But without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it is not advisable to chant the holy name of Krishna in a secluded place where one may acquire only cheap adoration from the innocent public. Arjuna also thought of Krishna consciousness or Buddhi Yoga or intelligence in spiritual advancement of knowledge as something like retirement from active life and the practice of penance and austerity at a secluded place. In other words, he wanted to skillfully avoid the fighting by using Krishna consciousness as an excuse. But as a sincere student, he placed the matter before his master and questioned Krishna as to his best course of action. In answer, Lord Krishna elaborately explained karma yoga, or work in Krishna consciousness, in this third chapter. Let's do the next one. Vyamishrineva-vakena
Buddhim
moha yasiva me Tarekam varanishchitya Yena shreho hamapnuyam
Vyamishrineva
By equivocal
Iva
Certainly.
Vakyena.
Words.
Buddhim.
Intelligence.
Mohayasi.
You are bewildering.
Iva.
Certainly.
May.
My.
Tat.
Therefore.
Ekam.
Only one.
Vada.
Please tell.
Nishchitya,
ascertaining,
yena,
by which,
shreya,
real benefit,
aham,
I,
apnuyam,
may have. Translation,
my intelligence is bewildered by your equivocal instructions.
Therefore, please tell me decisively which will be most beneficial for me. Purport. In the previous chapter, as a prelude to the Bhagavad Gita, many different paths were explained, such as Sankhya Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, control of the senses by intelligence, work without fruit of desire, and the position of the neophyte. This was all presented unsystematically. A more organized outline of the path would be necessary for action and understanding. Arjuna, therefore, wanted to clear up these apparently confusing matters so that any common man could accept them without misinterpretation. Although Krishna had no intention of confusing Arjuna by any jugglery of words, Arjuna could not follow the process of Krishna consciousness either by inertia or by active service. In other words, by his questions, he is clearing the path of Krishna consciousness for all students who seriously want to understand the mystery of Bhagavad Gita. So from the previous chapter, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport here, Krishna is given a number of different ideas about spiritual life. One is described as Sankhya, in which he described how we're different from our body. This is really jnana, which means to understand the difference between the soul and the body. And then he goes into, after verse number 40, an explanation of what is Buddhi Yoga. And this is explained by Srila Prabhupada throughout the second chapter as the process of actually bhakti yoga. And so Arjuna's heard some very strong words in the second chapter about leaving behind any kind of work that is considered to be materialistic, or as one is working, one's also attached to the fruits of his labor, right? He heard about this in the second chapter. They leave these things far away, this kind of attachment to material work. And also he heard about Buddhi Yoga, which sounds like some kind of inactivity. So that these two things have emerged, and as Prabhupada puts it here, that they were unsystematically presented. And therefore he's asking this question, Tadekam Varanishchitya. Tell me one thing. Because these two things are bewildering me, because on one hand, and this is a real situation, he's going into battle, and it's already explained how, what a frightful situation it is, going into battle, that, you know, he's ultimately, he's a devotee at heart, and he doesn't want to, you know, engage in any kind of jnana or karma either. But he's faced with this battle, and now he has to discern which is the right path. And of course, Krishna is covering his intelligence now so that he can set up this Bhagavad Gita, and he can speak to him about the different stages of yoga, which he's going to go into in this chapter. And throughout this chapter, all the way up to chapter 6, he's explaining these different rungs. And then we go in further into the understanding in the middle section of the Bhagavad Gita of Bhakti Yoga more clearly. So the question here he's asking is, explain these two things. How do I reconcile the fact that you said that I'm not my body and that I should practice Buddhi Yoga,
and now what should I do? So it's a confused situation for Arjuna, and therefore he's asking these questions to rectify the situation, know how to go forth. So let's go on to the next couple of verses so we can begin to hear Lord Krishna's answer. In text number 3, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Lokesmin Dvivida Nishta, Pura Prokta Mayanaka, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Loke, in the world, Asmin, this, Dvivida, two kinds of, Nishta, faith, Pura, formerly, Prokta, were said, Maya, by me, Anagha, O sinless one, Jnana Yogena, by the linking process of knowledge, Sankhyanam, of the empiric philosophers, Karma Yogena, by the linking process of devotion, Yoginam, of the devotees. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical, philosophical speculations, and others by devotional service. Purport. In the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. Let's look at text number 39 in the second chapter. Page 111. Esha te bihita sankhye buddhi yoga tuimam shinu buddhya yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi. Thus far I have described this knowledge to you through analytical study. Now listen as I explain it in terms of working without fruitive results. O Sunabhuta, when you act in such knowledge, you can free yourself from the bondage of works. So, as we just read in the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, Sankhya and Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. In this verse, the Lord explains the same more clearly. Sankhya Yoga, or the analytical study of the nature of spirit and matter, is the subject matter for persons who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. The other class of men work in Krishna consciousness, as is explained in the 61st verse of the second chapter, which is? 134. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asitamat paraha. We can all chant it. Vashehi asendriyani tasya pragna pratishtita. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness upon me is known as a man of steady intelligence. So the Lord has also explained in the 61st verse, the second chapter, that there's another class of men who work in Krishna consciousness. He's also explained in the 39th verse that by working by the principles of Buddhi Yoga or Krishna consciousness, one can be relieved from the bonds of action. And furthermore, there is no flaw in the process. The same principle is more clearly explained in the 61st verse that this Buddhi Yoga is to depend entirely on the Supreme, or more specifically on Krishna. And in this way, all the senses can be brought under control very easily. Therefore, both the yogas are interdependent as religion and philosophy. Religion without philosophy is sentiment or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. The ultimate goal is Krishna, because the philosophers who are also sincerely searching after the absolute truth come in the end to Krishna consciousness. This is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. The whole process is to understand the real position of the self in relation to the super-self. The indirect process is philosophical speculation, by which gradually may one come to one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness. And the other process is directly connecting everything with Krishna in Krishna consciousness. Of these two, the path of Krishna consciousness is better because it does not depend on purifying the senses by a philosophical process. Krishna consciousness is itself the purifying process, and by the direct method of devotional service, it is simultaneously easy and sublime. So on one hand, if one takes the philosophical process of understanding, trying to discriminate between matter and spirit and understand I'm not this body, and there are various processes for elevating oneself to a transcendental position, then you're on your own. It becomes more difficult because it's us against material nature and us against all our conditioning. But if we take shelter of Krishna and we take shelter of the process of devotional service, especially in connection with pure devotees, then we call in the cavalry. And we're not by ourselves. We're actually depending on the help of Krishna to elevate us to the highest position. So the Srila Prabhupada is recommending the latter process, that by directly connecting in Krishna consciousness, one becomes fortified by Krishna's help and by the help of the pure devotees, rather than trying on one's own. I want to read a couple more verses because I want to make a little more progress towards through this first section, if there are no objections. Okay. Text number 4. Nakarmanam anarambhan.
Nakarmanam anarambhan.
Naishkarmyam purushoshnute.
Naishkarmyam purushoshnute.
Nachasanyasanadeva.
Siddhim
samarigacchati. Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Karmanam.
Of prescribed duties.
Anarambhat.
By
non-performance. Naishkarmyam.
Freedom from reaction.
Purusha.
Purusha.
Amen.
Ashnute.
Achieves. Na.
Nor.
Cha.
Also.
Sannyasanat.
By
renunciation.
Eva.
Simply.
Siddhim.
Success.
Samarigacchati.
Attains. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. Purport. The renounced order of life can be accepted when one has been purified by the discharge of the prescribed form of duties, which are laid down just to purify the hearts of materialistic men. Without purification, one cannot attain success by abruptly adopting the fourth order of life, sannyas. According to the empirical philosophers, simply by adopting sannyas or retiring from fruitive activities, one at once becomes as good as Narayan. But Lord Krishna does not approve this principle. Without purification of heart, sannyas is simply a disturbance to the social order. On the other hand, if someone takes to the transcendental service of a lord, even without discharging his prescribed duties, whatever he may be able to advance in the cause is accepted by the Lord, Buddha Yoga. Svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobhayat. Even a slight performance of such a principle enables one to overcome great difficulties. Text number 5. Nahi kashchit shanamapi.
Nahi kashchit shanamapi.
Jatu tishchatya karma krit.
Jatu tishchatya karma krit.
Karyate hyavasha karma.
Karyate hyavasha karma.
Sarva prakriti jargunai.
Sarva prakriti jargunai.
Na.
Na.
Nor.
Nor.
He.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Kashchit.
Kashchit.
Anyone.
Anyone.
Shanam.
Shanam.
A moment.
Api.
Api.
Also.
Also.
Jatu.
Jatu.
At any time.
At any time.
Tishtati.
Tishtati.
Remains.
Remains.
A karma krit.
A karma krit.
Without doing something.
Without doing something.
Karyate.
Karyate.
Is forced to do.
Is forced to do.
He. Certainly.
Certainly.
Avashaha.
Avashaha.
Helplessly.
Helplessly.
Karma.
Karma.
Work.
Work.
Sarva.
Sarva.
All.
All.
Prakriti Jaya. Born of the modes of material nature. Gunai. By the qualities. Translation. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. Purport. It is not a question of embodied life, but it is the nature of the soul to be always active. Without the presence of the spirit soul, the material body cannot move. The body is only a dead vehicle to be worked by the spirit soul, which is always active and cannot stop even for a moment. As such, the spirit soul has to be engaged in the good work of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be engaged in occupations dictated by the illusory energy. In contact with material energy, the spirit soul acquires material modes. And to purify the soul from such affinities, it is necessary to engage in the prescribed duties enjoined in the shastras. But if the soul is engaged in his natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for him. The Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.17 affirms this. Tyaktva sudharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajana pakvota patet tato yati yatra kva vabhadrama buddha mushyakim kovarta apto bhajatam sudharmata. If someone takes to Krishna consciousness, even though he may not follow the prescribed duties in the shastras or execute the devotional service properly, and even though he may fall down from the standard, there is no loss or evil for him. But if he carries out all the injunctions for purification in the shastras, what does it avail him if he is not Krishna conscious? So the purificatory process is necessary for reaching this point of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sannyas, or any purificatory process, is to help reach the ultimate goal of becoming Krishna conscious, without which everything is considered a failure. Text number 6. Karmendriyani samyamya.
Karmendriyani samyamya.
Yaaste manasasmaran.
Yaaste manasasmaran.
Indriyartan vimudatma.
Indriyartan vimudatma.
Vityachara se uchite.
Vityachara se uchite.
Karma indriyani.
Karma indriyani.
The five working senses.
The five working senses.
Samyamya.
Samyamya.
Controlling.
Controlling.
Ya.
Ya.
Anyone who.
Aste,
remains,
manasa,
by the mind,
by the mind.
Smaran,
thinking of,
indriya artan,
sense
objects,
vimudha,
foolish,
atma,
soul,
mitya
achara,
pretender,
sa,
he,
uchite,
is called.
One who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Purport. There are many pretenders who refuse to work in Krishna consciousness, but make a show of meditation, while actually dwelling within the mind upon sense enjoyment. Such pretenders may also speak on dry philosophy in order to bluff sophisticated followers, but according to this verse, these are the greatest cheaters. For sense enjoyment, one can act in any capacity of the social order, but if one follows the rules and regulations of his particular status, he can make gradual progress in purifying his existence. But he who makes a show of being a yogi while actually searching for the objects of sense gratification must be called the greatest cheater, even though he sometimes speaks of philosophy. His knowledge has no value, because the effects of such a sinful man's knowledge are taken away by the illusory energy of the Lord. Such a pretender's mind is always impure, and therefore his show of yogic meditation has no value whatsoever. Text 7. Yastvindriyani
manasa.
Yastvindriyani
manasa.
Niyamyar bhartejuna.
Karmendriyai
karma yogam. Asakta sa vishishyate. Ya.
One who.
Two. But.
Indriyani.
The senses.
Manasa.
By the mind.
Niyamya.
Regulating.
Arabhate.
Begins.
Arjuna.
O Arjuna. Karma indriyai. by the active sense organs,
karma yogam,
devotion, asakta, without attachment,
he
vishishyate,
is by far the better.
Translation. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. Purport. Instead of becoming a pseudo-transcendentalist for the sake of wanton living and sense enjoyment, it is far better to remain in one's own business and execute the purpose of life, which is to get free from material bondage and enter into the kingdom of God. The prime swartaguti, or goal of self-interest, is to reach Vishnu. The whole institution of Varna and Ashram is designed to help us reach this goal of life. A householder can also reach this destination by regulated service in Krishna consciousness. For self-realization, one can live a controlled life as prescribed in the Shastras and continue carrying out his business without attachment, and in that way make progress. A sincere person who follows this method is far better situated than a false pretender who adopts show-bottle spiritualism to cheat the innocent public. A sincere sweeper in the street is far better than the charlatan meditator who meditates only for the sake of making a living. So this bodes well for our community, I think, because all of us, or most of us, are engaged in some kind of work or activity, and it wouldn't be practical also to just give it up and go to the forest at this point. It doesn't seem very practical. And therefore, Krishna consciousness, this what Krishna is recommending here, goes well with our lifestyle. Because, first of all, he says, Nahi kashchit shananapi jatutischetya karma krit. Hyavasha karyate hyavasha karma sarva prakriti jargunai. That we can't refrain from doing something even for a moment. It's not practical to think, and now it's certified by Lord Krishna that we're not going to come to a position of complete stillness, in the sense that sometimes the nihilist might say that you have to become completely emptied out of all thoughts or desires. According to Krishna, this is simply not possible, because actually we're always active. Even in the sleeping state, when we go into sleep, we'll notice that we're active. The dreaming is going on, and we are acting out our life in a dream state. Actually, our waking state, while we're conditioned, is also a dream state. But when we're awake, we don't remember our dreams, and when we're asleep, we don't remember our waking state either. We're definitely we're being controlled by the three modes of material nature until we come to our awake state, which means to actually understand our constitutional position as servitor of Krishna, and to see things as they are, that Krishna is controlling everything, and that the modes of material nature are insurmountable. And seeing in this way, and reconnecting with Krishna through giving our service to him, then becomes the actual relief of our life, to engage our whatever action we are now engaged in. We can't stop it, right? Isn't that what Krishna is saying here? You can't just stop it abruptly and give it up. Sometimes someone might try to do that and say, I'll just take sannyas. But once you take sannyas, what will you do? If you still have desires in your heart, they'll follow you everywhere. It used to be a saying, if you go to Bengal, you take your fortune with you. And nowadays people say, wherever you go, there you are. It's still you, you're still there. It doesn't matter, you can change your location. You see some people, they go to a heavenly place like Hawaii or something, and they still have... You know, there's nice air and everything, plumeria flowers burning. Well, they have a cigarette. Why don't you just smell the air? Well, because I have to smoke a cigarette. Why do you have to smoke a cigarette? Because that's what you have to do. You're forced by material nature. We're forced to do so many things by material nature, and we can't avoid it. So wherever we go, there we are. It doesn't matter. But the devotee, Narayana
Paraksarve nakutaschana bibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu apituliana darshana. That for the devotee who's 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness, for him, it doesn't matter heaven or hell. He can go to swarga or he can go to naraka. And either place, it's the same, because he's simply engaged in Krishna consciousness. He's not affected in either way. And he's also not obligated he's not being forced by the three modes of material nature. So, point here is, Krishna's talking about a gradual process of purification. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this whole section of the Bhagavad Gita, on the whole Bhagavad Gita, of course. And in this particular section, he talks about how there's a progression that in the beginning, one's an animal. There are 8,400,000 species of life, and out of all of those, how many are animals? How many are birds?
2 million.
2 million birds? Could you look it up, please, Panditji? We know from the Vedas how many birds, how many beasts, how many humans. There's 400,000 birds. And of 400,000 species of human beings, and Satyadeva Prabhu is saying, how many birds? Two?
I think
2 million birds. There's a lot of animals out there. There's probably more insects around my house than there are human beings on the planet. So in animal life, we're acting, right? Because animals, even in very dormant stages, they still have their activities that are going on, eating, sleeping, mating, defending one way or the other. You watch them. I was taking a Japa walk this morning, and I saw a woman taking her dog out for a walk. As soon as she opened the door, the dog had the leash on, but he took off and he ran right for the car that she was going to drive, and he was standing right by the door, jumping up and down. He knew he was getting in the car going for a walk. And I saw a squirrel out of my fence today, and he was having a little refreshment, having a little nut. He just ate the whole thing. He chews one side, chews the other side, and buries the rest in my lawn for later. Keeps it for later, a little refrigerator thing going on there. And anywhere you look, the living beings are out there. You found it? Jalajal Navalakshani Stava. 372. Okay, let's look it up. In your verse book. We have to have an excuse to look up some verses. 372. Uh-oh, we're running out of time. We were going to go all night, but we got to run out of time. Jalaja Navalakshani. So there are 900,000 species living in the water. There are 2 million non-moving living entities, stavara, such as trees and plants. They're definitely alive. They're reaching for stuff. There's 1,100,000 species of insects and reptiles, 1 million species of birds.
Alive.
Close. As far as quadrupeds are concerned, there are 3 million varieties and there are 400,000 human species. So animal life means activity is there, there's no doubt about it, but it's unrestricted. And when we come to the human form of life, if it's unrestricted, it's also animal life. We're called dvipadapashu. Means an animal, but with two legs. So then comes into the progression, this is called karmakandya. And karmakandya means that one's actually a karmi. There is a bona fide kind of karmi. In our movement we call, we used to call everyone a karmi, who was karmi clothes, karmi food, karmi everything. But anyway, a real karmi name, what's your karmi name? It's sort of a pejorative way of labeling everyone who's not us. So anyway, an actual karmi is someone who is engaged in karmakandya, which means there's a section of the Vedas that says, if you want stuff, do you want stuff? Yeah. I still want stuff. What do you got? I want something better. Then there's a way of getting it. That means you have to follow the process. And so you go through the system of karmakandya. And actually, karmis are dear to Krishna because they're in the system. They've actually checked into the system. So even though we may call them karmis or whatever, or they mean, in the standard of Srimad Bhagavatam, they're not seen in a very nice light because compared to the standard that Lord Chaitanya was teaching, that pure love of God, it's not a very high thing. But it's in the system because now you're regulating yourself, but why are you regulating yourself? Because you want something.
And you realize that I'll get it by following the Shastra. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna. He says, the Vedas mostly deal with this karmakandya. It's to get what you want in the three modes of material nature, how to maneuver through this maze of the three modes of material nature. He doesn't recommend it, though. He says, Nirdvanvo Isatvaso Niryoga Shema Atmavan. He said, don't go for this, Arjuna. Be established in the self. Just surrender to Krishna. If one comes to a higher stage through karmakandya, and how does that happen? Prabhupada explains. A karmi who engages in karmakandya, he has to follow some regulation. Because the Shastra says, okay, do this and you'll get that. And so he does it and he gets that, and then he says, hey, who gave me that? Where'd that come from? I followed some regulation, I got that. And he develops some faith in the Shastra, because the Shastra gave him what he wanted. And now he comes to a little bit higher stage, and you know, then he starts thinking, well, maybe he has faith, this nishta, which is mentioned in this previous... he comes to a higher platform that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur calls Sakama Karma Yoga, which means now he's full of desires, but he engages in that kind of... in his work in order to please the Lord, in order to get something. And by continuing in that, then at some stage in this yoga ladder, he comes to what's called Naishkarma Karma Yoga, which means he's performing activity, but he doesn't have any material desire. He's becoming detached. And that's what Krishna is recommending here for Arjuna, that perform your work and don't be attached to it. This is the Karma Yoga. And so one is well situated in this process, and then gradually, through purification of heart, one comes to the stage where one has no material desires and therefore becomes detached from worldly duties and can simply engage in this contemplative life. And so there's a gradual progression. But what's being pointed out here is that if one comes in contact with devotional service, Prabhupada's quick to interject this into his purports, if one comes in contact with devotees and devotional service, then very quickly one can come to the position of devotional service. Now, that doesn't mean that immediately we become free from all material desires, because when we take the devotional service, it means we're starting the process, and we start with what is called a sadaka deha, when we become initiated into devotional service, and that means we have full potential to come to the highest position. When we're engaged in other kinds of activities where we're not depending on the Lord, whether they be philosophical or religious, to the degree that we're not depending on the Lord and we don't have the highest goal in mind, then our potential is limited. But when we come to devotional service under the care of pure devotees who are taking us to the highest stage of purification and to engage in our constitutional position and to develop love for God, then we have all potential available to us, and by their mercy we can come to that position. Now, whatever material desires and obstacles that we may experience, we will be helped by the Lord as we stay with the process of devotional service. And therefore, in essence, Srila Prabhupada has interjected several times here the point that we should, as much as possible, take advantage of engaging directly in the process of devotional service. And performing our work is obviously something that it's not optional. We can't give it up. But we should connect that to Krishna. And we should also perform the activities of Krishna consciousness, as we mentioned earlier, of hearing and chanting about Krishna. And then the purification of the heart will take place. And it's very important to point out also that Krishna says that if we try to act in a level higher than we're actually eligible for, then we'll cheat ourselves and we'll disturb everybody else in the process. So he's recommending here, take to the process where you can, and take the gradual process of purification. And in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna actually glorifies those who act at the level they're at now. He said, this is actually glorious. It's actually something which is wonderful when you know what your position is and you act in your position, and then you come gradually to the next stage. We don't have to artificially renounce, but we can engage in the position we're in now and connect it to Krishna and engage in the processes of devotional service, and we'll come to stage of purification by Krishna's arrangement. So we're coming to this next section in the ninth verse of this chapter where Krishna will say that it's by yajna. By human life is specifically designed for engaging in sacrifice to the Lord. And that there's a whole process set up in the material world for living peacefully and for making progress and for coming to the highest stage. And that we'll hear about on the next section of Bhagavad Gita, which we'll discuss in 2 weeks. Next week is Radhashtami, next Wednesday. So we'll have a festival here for Radharani next Wednesday at 6 o'clock. But in a simple way, whatever we're doing now, we should somehow or other connect it to devotional service, connect it to Krishna. And whatever we're able to do, even if it's in a small way, to begin, then we'll have every advantage by connecting to Krishna, who is known as Yogeshwara. He's the master of all mystic powers. And he can act wonderfully in our lives to make all kinds of arrangements for our ultimate benefit. And he is our best friend. He is looking out for our welfare. As he says in the last verse of the fifth chapter, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richati. We can actually know real happiness, real peace, by surrendering to Krishna to whatever capacity we, in whatever capacity we can, at whatever level we're at, if we connect to Krishna through devotional service. Specifically, this karma yoga, using the work that we're doing now to engage in Krishna consciousness, then we'll, by his mercy, by his grace, we'll make advancement. And he'll make all arrangements for us. So we shouldn't worry. And we should know that he's all-powerful. He can help us. Om Tat Sat. Any comments? Yes, Rudy. Give him the microphone. This is high-tech. Is this so that everyone can hear in the kitchen?
Yeah, actually, what happened on the last part of this purport, I found this...
It is on, you're just not holding it close enough.
Thank you.
Yeah, the last part of this report, I just found something so profound. I thought Srila Prabhupada says about this, in his example, he says about, he compares street sweepers versus the meditator based on quality of consciousness. Mm. He's actually saying that a street sweeper can have a better, if he has a better quality of Krishna consciousness, to put it simply. Actually, I'm just surprised that in his example, Srila Prabhupada actually is, in other way also, he's breaking down the social and economic barrier of a society as well in this example. And I just find it very, very, very profound social message in that example, I thought.
This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process as well. You know, for his Namacharya, he appointed Srila Haridas Thakur. At that time, in Hindu society, coming anywhere near a Muslim was taboo. In fact, you'd lose your caste. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a revolutionary that he brought a Muslim in and said, this is the highest example of devotional service, Haridas Thakur. Even the Muslims didn't like it. They tried to beat it out of him, said, stop chanting that Hindu songs, you're a Muslim. And they beat him, and they beat him, and he didn't stop. But, you know, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, contrary to those who were Mayavadis, they would take sannyas and just read the Vedanta Sutra, and you had to be a sannyasi to actually even be considered for spiritual life. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's troupe, who do we see? All kinds of people. Many, many different householders. There were kings. There was governors. And all types of social status. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled, he would stay in the homes of people who normally weren't considered worthy for a sannyasi to stay in their house, and so on and so forth. Because what he pointed out was that the quality of one's consciousness. If one's Krishna conscious, then I'm there. I'll be there. And if one's not Krishna conscious, it doesn't matter what one's social status is. It's not relevant. Kiba bipra kiba nyasi shudra kenanai ye Krishna tattvaveta she guru hoy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if one knows the science of Krishna, Krishna consciousness, he's fit to be a guru. It doesn't matter what status he's in other than that. That's the main thing, that he knows that. So yeah, this is a very important point. One can be and we see examples of this. There's a devotee in Los Angeles who, if you look around, you'll always see him with jeans on and a t-shirt working everywhere. And he's a pure devotee. In fact, one time when Madhudvisa, who was one of the early devotees, he was recently giving announcements there in Los Angeles, and he said, if anyone wants to kind of get a feeling of what Jayananda was like, then you should go and observe this devotee. And you'll see kind of what he was like. And he's still there in Los Angeles. And you can go see him. And he's always, you know, under a car, fixing this, fixing that. But he's always engaged in Krishna consciousness. And he doesn't want anything, any return, simply to be engaged in Krishna service. And his consciousness is completely pure. Whereas we might meet somebody else who, you know, has externally renounced the world or something, who has some hidden motive, and we may feel repelled by that person and not Krishna conscious. So external is not important. What is important is one's internal dedication to Krishna consciousness. Yes, Mataji. Microphone. Uh-oh, hold that story. We got to hear
it. I don't know the whole story.
Well, just give a start to it.
I was just remembering the story of the prostitute. She had been a prostitute, but then she would see the brahmin across the street in the house, bringing Bhagavatam, but her consciousness was like, oh, how, you know, how fortunate soul is that brahmin and gets to study. I don't know how story was very familiar, I think.
Does anybody know the rest of the story? Yes. Microphone.
So, I think the story goes that the prostitute was always thinking about Bhagavatam class while he was engaged in her own business. And the Brahman was actually thinking about the prostitute, about the customers that he was entertaining, and what clients has she got. And so when they both died, the Yamadutas came to the Brahman's place, and he was like, hey, you know, hold on, guys. I think you got the wrong address. It's across the street, the prostitute's place. And they said, no. And later, I think, the Brahmin was taken to the court of the Yamraj, and he explained to him that you were always absorbed in this, while engaged in these outward activities of Krishna consciousness, you were internally engaged in thinking about the prostitute's activities. And the prostitute, on the other hand, while engaged in her activities out of necessity or out of, you know, the circumstances that she found herself in, was engaged internally in Krishna consciousness. So she actually has gone back to Godhead, and you are going to suffer here in hell.
Yeah, point well taken. Practically, you know, thinking of examples of devotees,
there's a god brother of ours named Vatsala. And I was in Los Angeles cooking for the Rathiatra, which it's a very absorbing kind of service for those who come and help and can be engaged in that. During these festival times when we have full opportunity to sort of drop everything and be engaged in some kind of service, preparing for the festivals, things. My godbrother Vatsala, he likes to come to these festivals, and I know when I was there just a couple of months ago, working for the cooking and other types of service, he's always there, ready to do some service, and I observed in him this principle that he always wants to be engaged, either hearing and chanting, or give me some service. Never idle. He doesn't want to be idle. And this is the greatest feeling of actual protection when we're engaged in our service, when we're connected like that. So this is a great science, actually, of how to stay engaged all the time in Krishna consciousness somehow or other. And there's no situation in which we have to be separated from Krishna. Whatever job we're doing, whatever situation we're in, we can always connect it somehow or other to Krishna. Of course, if we do something whimsically, then we can be connected to Krishna by remorse and feel that I shouldn't have done that and that I'm very fallen. And then that purifies us and connects us to Krishna. And if we can find authorized ways to always be engaged in Krishna's service, then that's the perfection of life. To stay in contact with Krishna. So we all have that opportunity, and so we should try to fill in the gaps as much as possible. Those things which are blocking our constant engagement in devotional service are called anartas, or unwanted things. And when we remove them, actually, or when Krishna removes them for us by our prayers and by our association and by our endeavors, then we feel great relief. When these things go out of our life, then we think, why did I think I needed that? Why was that important? It's simply a disturbance and noise that's in our life. So this great science of Krishna consciousness is how to stay engaged constantly in Krishna's service. And there are so many ways to be engaged through our work, surrendering the results of our work. This is a good start. And finding ways to be directly engaged in helping the Sankirtan movement, this is also wonderful. And hearing and chanting as much as possible, all these types of things, we can stay engaged constantly. So this will give us this daivi sampat, or spiritual wealth that we're looking for. And then we'll become completely purified by that process. Hare Krishna. So coming up in 1 week is Radhashtami. Coming up in 2 days is the continuation of our monthly Sankirtan festival set of waves that has been coming in. We had engagement at the San Francisco Rathiatra, and then we had 2 weekends of Sankirtan festival for Janmasthami Vyasa Puja. And then sometimes when you're swimming, Satyadeva will tell you, because he goes out in the ocean a lot. But I remember a couple of times going out, and the things were calm, and then some waves started coming in, and I caught a wave and got smashed by it. And I thought, that's okay, I'll just get back up. And I looked, and more were coming. But these are fortunate circumstances that we look up and we see, oh, there's another big event coming. But this one's a gentle monthly Sankirtan festival. We worked hard. We put ourselves in all kinds of anxiety to make our goals for the last two. And this one, I think we have some pretty interesting and sort of non-anxiety-producing goals. Is that? Would you describe them like that, Nilesh? Yeah? So our goals are for this coming monthly Sankirtan festival. What's so funny, Malini? Are they more difficult than I thought? So we had some goals to... What are our goals? Yes?
One is to distribute the books that the book distributors have in their possession.
Good. This is one goal. So any books that you have in your car,
in your house, you know, anywhere you've got books, let's distribute all those books. We'll try to move those out.
I think this goal is stated just now. In your email,
yes. Okay, yeah, he mentioned it last week. I forgot to put it in. So that's one goal.
Because some people have a huge number of books like this.
Well, we'll try to deplete that, you know, that extra inventory. Use what we have before we go to Sankirtan Central, in other words. That's one thing. And then another thing was?
Send the package to Japan food.
And we're going to start this process this week of sending out at least 10 packages to influential people around Silicon Valley. We've named 10 already, but we have to get their names and addresses and send out a package with a letter. So that will be exciting. Then?
10 packages for the team ISP as a whole?
Yes.
10
10 packages per team. No. 10 packages as a whole. But we have to work together because it's just a beginning idea of going out in a different direction. So we may need to help from all different angles to... It's a pilot project. And we may implement it in many different ways, but this is the beginning of it. So we need help finding the addresses, how to look people up, that kind of thing. And then deciding what's in the package. That's also going to be important. And then what else?
He has an idea. He was talking about that.
Yes? You tell afterwards?
No, in fact, no. I was contemplating on taking the pictures of the festivals that we are holding, where the crowd is so much, but we are lacking in facilities, and presenting that to all these influential people.
Okay. Let's put that on the list. We'll do that.
They would be very much able to see what and what we want to achieve with a bigger accommodation, what it would look like. That was the kind of contrast that I wanted.
That's excellent. We'll definitely do that. In fact, I'm waiting for this package from Prabhupada Charan, who's in England, who has suggested that we make a book that we can go around and use to approach big business owners and things like that to sell sets of books and take in large donations, and we'll include that as part of it. Thank you. And then there was a couple other things we had on the list for goals. Oh, yeah. Now, we want to start, we've got the part of going out and distribute books. We have a lot of momentum there. And now we're going to start phase two of how to take care of people once we meet them on the street. For instance, you meet somebody interested, we're going to put a lot of energy this time into how to follow up with people and bring them closer. And one of the things is that everyone who goes out or has gone out, if you have anywhere in your drawer that you threw in there or in a file somewhere or, you know, under the seat of your car, some name of some person that you met through Sankirtan, you have to make a call or write a letter, somehow reach out to that person and make a contact. So this is also a beginning direction that we want to go in. So everyone, that's one of the goals. Every one of the Sankirtan members, not teams, but members, has to reach out and call somebody and or send them some letter to invite them to come closer to Krishna consciousness. And then we'll compare notes afterwards about the different ways that everyone did that. Does everyone agree to that? Let's see, does anybody not agree to it? Okay, so is that an okay goal? Okay. And what else was there? Anything else? Right. We want to brainstorm. So we'll start a list starting now. Any ideas that we have about how to take better care of people when we meet them and when they come here, and about also taking care of devotees that are here. We'll also add that to the list of taking care of devotees. Like, how can we do a better job of taking care of the devotees that we have here and the devotees that we meet and when we meet people? And we'll expand in that direction. And it goes with Radhashtami because Radharani is the universal mother and she's taking care of everybody. And it's through her, actually, that we can approach Krishna. So she's taking care of everybody, and so we should be in that mood also. to try to take care of everybody, all the devotees and all the potential devotees, and think like that for Radhastami, that she's very kind and gentle. So that will be our focus also for the monthly Sankirtan festival. And then just don't put a big, huge pressure on yourself, but if you can go out and distribute the books that you already have, and then work on these other types of projects, you know, to develop them, then we'll offer those results on Radhastami. Does everybody agree? Srivas, do you really agree?
Yes, Prabhupada.
Okay. And do we have any spots?
Yes, Prabhupada. We have Nipita's Walmart for both the days.
Okay.
And we have the same new Walmart, Pleasanton Walmart.
Pleasanton Walmart, good.
And we have many farmers markets.
Okay. And we have our Santa Cruz is also available. And if anybody wants to take a break from, you know, a place that they've worked before or whatever, it's a good time because there's no pressure for numbers or anything like that. Just go and work with somebody else or a different place or somewhere you haven't been yet, and really concentrate on how to take care of people and new systems for collecting names. Tonight we're going to have a little meeting also about how we are developing our database, and that's instrumental in this, how to take care of people when we meet them. Okay. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Monthly Sankirtan festival ki jai. Gopri Manande Hari Hari Bol.